On Tuesday, executives from the British bank HSBC testified at a Senate hearing responding to allegations that their bank had become a conduit for Mexican drug traffickers moving billions of dollars into the United States and for Middle Eastern banks with suspected ties to terrorist organizations. Joining me now for a look at these allegations and the regulations that global banks must comply with is Tom Easton. He is New York finance and economics correspondent for The Economist. I'm very pleased to welcome him to today's second Backstory segment. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Flattered to be invited on. Thank you.
How did HSBC become a conduit of money for Mexican drug traffickers and Middle Eastern banks with ties to terrorist groups? Is it because they, as they brag, they have branches in every country?
So let's be clear. The Senate labeled their report on HSBC a test case. And that isn't to say that HSBC is the favorite bank of any of these nefarious people. It's only to say it is a bank that they use. In fact, most of the global banks have had one problem or another in recent years. And the fact that the Senate didn't choose to, at this moment, to study them in no way suggests that they haven't been doing it more recently. The fact is these are international banks, and most of them are involved or have been involved in activities that would be objectionable to many of the authorities in the United States. And there's a reason for that.
As you point out, HSBC is a global bank. Was the U.S. division of the bank the one at fault, or were there problems across the globe?
Well, you have several problems at HSBC. One is just managerial sloppiness. A lot of the things that they were accused of doing that, in fact, they probably did do or that were detailed in the report, they could have actually legally done if they had just done them a little bit differently. And these include some of the most objectionable activities. The most important of these, or the most evident of these, I would say, are transactions involving Iran. HSBC had 25,000 transactions involved with Iran, and those were in violation of U.S. or alleged to be in violation of U.S. government restrictions on dealings between the United States and Iran after 2001. But the reality was, many countries did not have similar restrictions with Iran. So if you were an American bank or you were a global bank or you were any sort of bank in the world and you transferred money from any of a number of countries in the world to Iran during this period, you were not violating the law. The only reason HSBC violated the law is the transactions briefly went through servers or something in the United States. Now, this isn't to defend those transactions. And now, in fact, because of various embargoes on Iran, most of them are illegal. But the fact is, through most of the period that HSBC was doing the things that were offensive, lots of banks in the world were doing them. They just didn't happen to use a U.S. server in the process. So these sort of things, these transactions that go on around the world, are actually common. And that doesn't mean they're good. But what we're seeing right now is a collision between many, many laws in many, many different countries and the United States and the historic role of banking. It wasn't that long ago that banks were allowed in any country to deal with banks in any other country if they were licensed to do business. And that meant even in countries where America probably has a lot of political differences, and that would constitute most of the Middle East and quite a bit of Latin America. So merely to do business with those countries and with those governments was considered legal because banks weren't perceived to have to maintain U.S. law. But America has become far more aggressive in terms of pursuing its law in terms of finance for probably good reasons, but that really collides with the issues that any global organization faces in other countries, particularly other countries that have policies that diverge from America's.
But the Senate report also found that in some cases of transactions, not just with Iran, but also North Korea and Sudan, certain pieces of key data were deleted to evade U.S. sanctions or regulations. And investigators found that the compliance division in the Mexican bank was faking many of their meetings. That would seem to indicate not just negligence, but active wrongdoing.
So if you take the Mexican banks, that's a very, very interesting chapter. The Senate actually had testimony from one of the heads of HSBC's Mexican banking operations, and he described the Mexican banking environment as he says, one of the most challenging in the world. Employees were kidnapped. Bribery was pervasive. Corruption was everywhere. I've been to the Mexican banking authorities. It's a very, very difficult place. This isn't to exonerate HSBC. This is just to say that lots of stuff goes on in Mexican banking that we would find appalling in the United States and that are in violation of American rules. And the fact that we haven't pursued it is either because the banks are still located in Mexico or maybe HSBC is just a test case of other things that go on. So, you know, things being fake, things being bad, all that stuff happens in these countries, and it's all bad. And normally it would be considered, I guess, business in Mexico. It's only been considered particularly objectionable because now we consider it to be business in America. Now, another part of the report notes that if the Mexican affiliate of HSBC had chosen to route its transactions through a UK server rather than a US server, it would not be evading whatever were perceived to be the applicable laws. Same transaction. They didn't do it, and this is managerial sloppiness, because they didn't have any server capacity in the UK. But the idea that there is a good and a bad, and these guys were just bad, is not, it may be true, but it doesn't really get to the heart of the story. The fact is, lots of banks get away with exactly the same stuff all the time. They're a little more artful in how they do it. And what we're seeing here is, you know, taking a very close look at how global finance works, there are a lot of pieces of it that don't fit with American policy.
Well, the Mexican bank is estimated to have moved billions of dollars into the U.S. bank on behalf of drug traffickers. Did moving all that money around raise some red flags, at least internally? Are they okay, whether it's legal or illegal, with moving billions of dollars for drug traffickers?
Let's look at the movement of money for drug traffickers. Lots of money moves around Mexico for one of their biggest businesses, which is drugs. And it's all awful. And HSBC should not be, or no company should be involved in that. But this is an untypical activity for many, many financial institutions or institutions within Mexico. I mean, Mexico has a huge, huge drug problem. The transportation, what the report was really looking at one point was a business that HSBC had for, I think, over a century of transporting lots and lots of cash for different companies around the world. I think this began with British companies as they moved away from, you know, HSBC was a Scottish bank that was founded in Hong Kong that operated throughout Asia. And HSBC became primarily clearinghouse for all sorts of different currencies from throughout Asia and ultimately throughout the world. And a lot of the people dealing in those currencies were not good people. And so they've now ditched their currency transportation business. They find it does not fit with the laws of the time. And that's probably a good thing because a lot of bad people use them. But the fact is, they did that. They probably should have closed that business sooner. But that would have been a perfectly legitimate business for, you know, certainly prior to 1970 and arguably before 1987 for any bank in the world, because these just were not illegal by banking standards. Banks were not assumed to pursue that kind of legal advocacy. And maybe we want them to do that now.
But, well, the you know, chief compliance officer has left. Although he told the Senate that...
No, he stepped down. He didn't leave.
Well, he stepped down. Yeah, he's being assigned to another part of the bank. He told the Senate that these businesses would be shut down by the bank. So so they're recognizing that there's a problem there. But in another instance, HSBC supplied $1 billion in cash to a Saudi Arabian bank with suspected links to terrorism. And several senators on Tuesday described this as a national security problem.
That raises a real issue because a lot of Saudi banks do business with people that America doesn't like. And the question is, should we have financial dealings with Saudi Arabia? I mean, in this case, they were very, very focused on HSBC. I think it's the largest bank in Saudi Arabia, and it was founded by a guy who had ties to Al-Qaeda. But there are a lot of, or alleged to have ties to Al-Qaeda, but there are a lot of financial institutions in Saudi Arabia that have ties to people that we don't like in the United States. And I'm not defending HSBC. I'm just saying that we have a very, very complicated relationship with Saudi Arabia. It does a lot of things that we don't like, and it's still an ally of ours, and we do business with it. So the question is, you know, do we not do business with any of the banks that do business with people that we don't like? And you have to look at it. What happened was first banks did businesses with licensed banks. Then we had to check out if we liked the banks that the U.S. banks or the banks that operated in the U.S. did business with. And now we're saying, do we like the customers of the banks of the U.S., the U.S. licensed banks do business with? And that really is a huge extension of U.S. law around the world. And maybe it's justified. In fact, in many ways, I like it. But you have to understand this is very complicated stuff because it moves into whole new areas, and it pushes American law and American values, maybe they're good values, maybe they're good law, into areas where America previously didn't have jurisdiction. And so we started with a global bank that was located outside of the United States, and we really bashed them in the Senate. But I'm not sure if you would get that many different results if you looked at the big American banks. And in fact, several of the big American banks, including Citibank and Wachovia, have been cited in the past for these sort of money laundering issues, and they've all engaged in compliance programs. And I think inside they're all probably pretty concerned about how effective they are, because they depend on really understanding what goes on in foreign countries. And, you know, HSBC's practices were probably egregious, but that means they were different in scale but not necessarily in kind from what a lot of other people are doing. And I'm not trying to suggest HSBC is happy about that, but they're now in a role where they really have to do a kind of legal vetting that institutions weren't asked to do in the past. And frankly, contradicts laws in other countries which have banking secrecy requirements and don't want to allow you to expose to the rest of the world who's doing business with you in your country. So, well, I know that's a long-winded answer, but I think it touches on the complexity of this issue.
But this is not the first time that HSBC has been cited by U.S. regulators for not having adequate anti-money laundering policies in place. You point out other banks as well have been cited. They've been flagged by different regulators for the better part of a decade. Why haven't regulators taken action before now? Why is it suddenly an issue in the U.S. Senate?
Well, okay, so what do you this brings up a lot of administrative questions, and there are really administrative failings. But do you consider the fact that HSBC didn't route transactions from Mexico to Britain and instead routed them to America and therefore violated American law to be the core problem? Or is the problem that HSBC was dealing with questionable clients, and it would be legal if they just didn't go through U.S. jurisdictions? Because that's what's going on throughout the world, and that's, in a sense, a lot of the battle on restrictions for Iran is trying to get all the other countries on board on what the American standards are so that this stuff doesn't go on in other places. But, you know, HSBC was managed traditionally on a country level, not in a centralized level. And HSBC, as they said in front of the Senate, and the person who was doing the testimony for HSBC was the ex-anti-money laundering man for the U.S. Treasury, who HSBC has now hired. His comment was, we have to respect the laws in the jurisdictions that we operate. And many of the jurisdictions in which they operate wouldn't even allow a lot of this sort of information to be disclosed.
But, Tom, and in fact, go ahead.
Many of the governments that are dealt with have actually ties with these people that we... And the last thing they want to do is release the information. So it's not as easy as the Senate just cracking down or Congress cracking down or even the world just cracking down on people who really, really do terrible things.
Tom Easton is the New York finance and economics reporter for The Economist. We've been talking about what happened at HSBC, but of course it's part of a larger issue, as we've seen at Barclays and LIBOR. Thank you so much for being with us.